All right, we are back. I almost thought we had a 3-minute break by mistake and wasn't ready to come back. But here I am, and here's Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, www on the internet, and the National Prayer Network. We're talking originally and still talking about the ACLU and its relationship to its mother organizations, as it were, of the obviously the B'nai B'rith group, ADL, the CFR, other groups that spawned the ACLU. It's interesting to note also, Ted, you know, it was just shortly after the Federal Reserve System came in, which is basically a Jewish creation, the direct election of senators and the income tax. Just a few short years later, we had the CFR, the ACLU, B'nai B'rith, taking us into World War I.
Yes.
The Wilson administration. So there really is a very neat evolution of progress being made from its inception, you see, all along the road through Roosevelt years and up to the present.
Mm-hmm. Well, most people don't realize that Jewish activism actually began in the Western Hemisphere full time as early as the French Revolution in 1789.
Yeah, yeah. In America, the 1800s.
Yeah, the Jewish Authority, the authoritative Jewish encyclopedias, especially the Judaica, they're very proud that the great revolutions of Europe, the French Revolution, the Revolution of 1829,
right,
the Revolution of 1848, Paris Commune in 1871, 1905, the Russian Revolution,
the Bolshevik
Revolution,
yeah,
they were all led and masterminded by Jews.
Well, that is
so
true.
What we have in the 20th century, we have basically 2 centuries of this attempt to undermine Christian civilization through socialist and later Marxist ideas.
And also through their front groups, which I believe the secret societies, largely the Masons and the Freemasons in particular,
yes,
have also been used as front groups by these people for centuries. There's no doubt in my mind about it.
Yes.
But in the United States, when was the ADL actually created, the first chapter? Was it
The B'nai B'rith was founded in the 1850s in New York, but
right,
the ADL, as the so-called civil liberties arm, fighting against anti-Semitism, that was founded in 1913.
Right, right. That's exactly the chronology I was thinking of.
And
okay,
I think that's pretty close to the year the Federal Reserve Act was passed.
Well, it was the same year. Well, 1913. And it's the same cast of characters pulling the strings, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that Jacob Schiff, the head of the what is now Chase Manhattan Bank, Kuhn Loeb, was actually a prominent B'nai B'rith member,
right,
and I have heard that he was actually instructed to give that money to Trotsky and Lenin and so on.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. Gold. They wanted real money. They didn't want the Federal Reserve notes. Real money for us, you know. Paper.
They can Xerox those themselves, can't
right,
they?
Right, exactly. And they're doing the same thing right now, persecuting all of those who would try to set up a real monetary system based on gold and silver. We really have a break coming up in a minute, so why start with a call? We have, the lines are jammed right now. We've got Mike, Roseanne, Debbie, John, Bill, Henry. So all of you just stay where you are, and then when we come back, we have a long block of uninterrupted talk. So we'll be able to take your calls, and those of you who are trying to get on the line and don't know the number, new time callers, 800-313-9443. You want to go to Ted Pike's website. It is very simple, www.truthtellers.org. We shall return with Ted Pike in just about 3 minutes from now. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, right here on rvnlive.com. Be right back. All right, we're back, and right back to the phones we go now with Ted Pike. First of all, Mike in Kentucky is next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, great. I'm glad to hear you kind of take apart these layers of the onion, so to speak. I don't think it's kind of hard for some people to see how, I guess, the ACLU could be set up by the ADL.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at, and you guys touched on Morris Dees and the Southern Poverty Law Center, the guy apparently was in a huge amount of debt and operating some then bought him out of debt and gave him the seed money to show up in Alabama and start the Southern Poverty Law Center from scratch. If you've ever went down there and looked at it, there's just it's a huge marble, black marble edifice on the front of it with some words about justice from Martin Luther King. A hugely expensive monument. I actually held some of the papers in my hand from the Alabama archives where I think he divorced Maureen, and some of this came out in that, and it's in the archives. People can go get it.
Well, he has a rather sordid past, Mo Dees, doesn't he, Ted Pike?
Yes, he does. I'm not a an expert on him, but I understand there's some serious moral indiscretions in his past.
Yes.
Can you know more about it?
Yes. Well, there's a lot to do with pedophilia.
Yes.
And a lot to do with apparently child rape and so forth that have been charged.
Yeah, charged.
Here.
There
and,
was some of the stuff that was brought out during the divorce, but
the financial
part. The financial part of it is less titillating, but that's probably the more important stuff that came out in that, not the what you're talking about.
Well, which, I think it's all important because
it sure is.
Yeah,
the
morals are there.
I mean, he also, you know, supposedly went skinny dipping and did various things for lunch that most people would consider, less than...
Well, so did Lyndon Johnson, right?
Right. And on and on you go.
All right.
And that was the point I was going to make, was that in looking at a lot of these, you know, the Vatican gets infiltrated by the Masons, and the Jesuits infiltrate Masonry, and Judaism get, you know, back and forth. I think at a lot of levels these people are at war with each other, and they all have a common enemy of Christianity. And so you just touched on that before the break about how some of these forward-looking people, you can look at Aldous Huxley and Orwell, but you go back to Albert Pike and his writings about how the Jews were going to be used against the Muslims, and you create this clash of civilizations to bring about their order of the ages or their age of reason or whatever. And, and it looks to me like this. You can't just look at the Jews, because there's a lot of groups here that are, I don't think they're completely controlled.
No, I think the most dangerous ones are not even the Jews. I think it's the so-called Christians who claim they are Christians yet are doing Satan's work.
Same thing with the Jews. You've got the right there in the New Testament. Those
right,
Jews,
exactly.
They're vipers. They're not really Jews.
Yep. Right. No. All right, Mike, we've got to move along. We've got a lot of calls. Thank you. Let's move along to Roseanne in Georgia. Hello, Roseanne.
Rick and Ted.
Yes.
Well, hello, Roseanne.
Hey, Ted. Listen up, guys. I'm going to try to really hurry and take... I just got three really quick points.
Okay.
And y'all are doing a great job tonight. I just want to say that. But the first thing, the anti-Christian group that were going to, you know, they were going to the funeral of the what do you call it?
You mean the Phelps Church?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They.
Uh-huh.
The point is, they keep harping on the fact that you've got to obey God's laws, but 1 Corinthians 13 states that you can obey all of God's laws, but if you don't have charity, it's worthless. Your obedience is killed out by not having...
Well, we've had them on the program. We had the daughter on, the minister and the lawyer, and she was a lot different on the program, my program, than she has been on other programs where they become antagonized. The host goes out of his way to antagonize them, and then there's an uncontrollable emotional roller coaster, and then they usually hang up on her. So I know what you're saying, but Ted, I don't want to speak for you. Ted, do you have any comment on that, particular aspect of what's going on in the Christian church?
Well, there are people who are doing the work of God in the flesh, according to sight, and people, I think Fred Phelps would be in that category, you know, God hates fags, and they actually, the Jews, if they didn't exist, the Jews would want to invent them because they provide a stereotype. They're like the Aryan nations, the Ku Klux Klan, and so on.
Yeah.
And you might just notice that at the ADL website they have, I don't know, 10 or 12 pages on Fred Phelps. We don't have a word on Ted Pike there.
Yeah, but maybe that's not a compliment, you know.
I'm a non-person as far as they're concerned. You see, they don't... they don't want to say a word about me because
they don't
want to
draw more
attention. People,
yeah,
thousands of people will come to truthtellers.org. So what we have to do is resist these stereotypes which are detracting from the true essence of Jesus, which, as Rosanna said, said, love your enemies, do good to them that persecute you, and so on.
And forgiveness. Yes, Debbie, the next, Rosanna,
well,
the next
I have
point.
Two more really quick points, and I think they're real important. But Hitler claimed to be a Christian, so Germany's Catholic priests would not oppose his agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said you would know them by their fruits, and therefore he could not have been a Christian because, you know, his fruits were evil. But the truth is Gentiles who are now Christians really should thank the Jews for their part in the crucifixion of Christ, because otherwise we would not have been grafted into God's tree of salvation. So, you know, ADL Foxman is ridiculous in saying that we hate the Jews for that, because we shouldn't. We should love them for that. And here's my second point and final thing. People out there in America, please listen to Ted. He's telling you the truth. There is a big, huge affront of Jewish anti-Christian agenda out there. Take, for instance, and I'm going to make this quick, Rove and Bush were sold out by Robert Novak, a Jew. Tom DeLay and Bob Ney were sold out by Jack Abramoff, a Jew. They attack Rumsfeld and Rove because they're Christians. They attack Kenneth Tomlinson, who is chairman of Voice of America, because he is a Christian. They attack Dennis Hastert, who is a Christian, because he passed the Public Expression of Religion Act. Ken Mailman, who is Jewish, who heads the National Republican
Committee. Yes.
He is Jewish, and he is broadcasting McCain and Allen as presidential candidates because they are intent on getting hate crimes legislation passed.
That's a good point. I'll agree with you on that.
And
what do you think of that, Ted?
I'm sorry. I just got two more quick.
Go ahead. Let Ted respond,
though,
to what you said.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
All right, go ahead. Ted, did you hear the remark that she made about McCain and Allen?
Yeah, let's go back to her second question. Roseanne, I have to disagree with you that we owe a debt of gratitude for these Pharisees for killing Jesus, our Savior and Lord of creation. That's like saying we owe a debt of gratitude to Satan for rebelling against God and bringing sin into the world. We owe a debt of gratitude for Eve for eating the forbidden fruit. These actions are intrinsically evil. And it's true that God has the ability, like an alchemist, to make good out of evil and to work all things, even evil, toward his ultimate good purposes. But we are not to, in my opinion, we are not to publicly thank these characters like the Foxman and so on for desecrating Christianity, because somehow maybe it'll bring, let's say, character or vitality or revival to the church. These are intrinsically evil actions, and they have to be repudiated on those terms, in my opinion. Now, as far as I think Roseanne is very close to the truth when she's talking about the fact that we are experiencing an attempt to dismantle the new right. My parents and even I had a role clear back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and clear back in the Barry Goldwater era of dreaming and trying to bring an anti-communist, anti-liberal movement to America. We worked with the National Day of Prayer. My father was in the White House observing the reviving of the National Day of Prayer and the proclamation by the president. Our family has had a tremendous stake and a role in establishing a conservative alternative in liberal America. And we are very, very saddened about how these neocon Jews have gotten into the Republican Party, gotten into the conservative movement, and now are moving it off into objectives which are very, very different from Reagan, from Goldwater, and from the ideological guiding lights of the conservative movement over the past half of a century. And I appreciate especially what my friend Michael Collins Piper has done in pointing out in the High Priest of War and others of his work how that these evil Jewish leaders have gone over the other side and basically bored themselves, infiltrated into a movement which I believe was largely birthed by prayer and by divine providence.
All right, Debbie, we don't have much time, but one more quick question or point.
Debbie?
Debbie. I'm sorry, Roseanne. Roseanne, are
I
you
was
still there?
Kind of, I was pretty much finished, but I will say one real quick. Rosie O'Donnell, who is Jewish, who is bashing the Christians now on The View, she was hired by Barbara Walters, who is also Jewish. Mm-hmm. So you've got a double whammy there, anti-Christian stuff going on. But, you know, I'm just making a point that all it's just anti-Christian bashing all the way around.
We know that for sure.
Oh, okay.
Thank
God
you, Roseanne.
God.
We don't need to, shall we say, be reminded of that, do we? All right, Ted, we're going to take a break, and we have Debbie next. John, Bill, Henry, Mike. And we will take all of you. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Bad, not you.
All right, we're back. Hail to the thief. We're back with Ted Pike on the line. And let us go right back to the phones and speak to Debbie in New York. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Got a question for Ted or a comment?
Well, actually, Ted, I've been getting numerous really nice emails from Ned Carrivo of StopTheACLU.org, who's been introducing me to a lot, and I thought I'd tune in tonight to hear what you're about, and it's quite pleasing to know that there's yet another great organization out there. So I thought I'd call in and chime in. One thing I've noticed is In my years of homeschooling is the attack on America's children. And that's, I believe that's where places like the ACLU, they really target. I think that for the last 4 or 5 decades, it's been a major target in America. And I see it with homeschooling when I see the conditioning that's going on with the misconception that somehow the government has a right to govern over our children when they don't. I live in New York where the homeschool laws are ridiculous. You would think we had these kids to give the public schools a job or to give the government a job to govern over our raising of our children. So it's crazy. And we're seeing it here, but we're also seeing it in the public schools where I'm sure you've heard of the Batavia school issue. They actually don't understand the rights that they have. They don't understand. They are the parents. The school is the school. But we've all been conditioned, and we do have laws now that are unconstitutional keeping us in this type of conditioning. And so here's what I wanted to bring up, because I know you've got a lot of people waiting. In the closing paragraph of the U.S. Constitution, just before everybody signs, it says, done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1787.
Mm-hmm.
Then it has and of the independence of the United States of America, the 12th. That's a prepositional phrase that is connected by and, which equates the fact that we are in the independence of the United States of America, which at that time was the 12th because we were in the 12th year. It equates it with a date, which a date on any kind of contract is needed to make it legal. So our founding fathers literally put us in a second time frame of our independence. And the only place where we can see what our independence is declared in the Declaration of Independence. So here it is. It's in the closing paragraph. There's a framework to our U.S. Constitution that the laws, any laws made, and any interpretation of those laws cannot go outside of the framework. Just as much as it can't go outside of our year in the Lord, okay, it can't go outside of the fact that we're in our independence.
Okay, Ted, do you have any response to what she's just said?
Well, it's so obvious that this whole nation was founded coming out of the Reformation, coming out of Christian principles, New and Old Testament principles of justice and love and equality and mercy and all of these kinds of things. And the bizarre situation today is that out of a tiny minority of American citizens, which constitutes 2.5% of Americans, the Jewish community, we have these arrogant Jews like Foxman and Rabbi Reznikoff and so on, they're standing up and saying that the whole Christian community or a Christian society, Christian-oriented society, should defer to them and do backflips in favor and in deference to this tiny minority. I have a question, that is, would that be tolerated in Israel? In Israel today, the Christian minority is about the same as the Jewish minority in the United States. It, 2 or 3% or whatever are Christian in Israel today. And can you imagine those Christians demanding from the government of Israel that they take down their Stars of David, that they not show their menorahs in public, that they not have any association between the rabbis and the government of Israel?
Oh, sure they do. Sure they do, Ted. Don't you know they're a democracy?
And yet here in America, they're trying to take down everything that clearly our founding fathers were okay with.
That's
but why
right.
was it all there?
Yeah,
I mean, the fact
right.
that it's there mm. is the fact that they were okay with it.
That's
all
right.
Do right. the words synagogue of Satan and Revelation have any meaning here?
Right.
All right.
I mean,
Debbie, we got to run, but thank you very much for your call. I appreciate
it. Can I, Ted?
Yes.
InformingChristians.com if you want to read that article.
What is it?
InformingChristians.com.
Okay. All right.
If you want to read that article on the Constitution that
very
I wrote.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks, sirs. Bye.
Thank you. Let's say hello to John in Alabama quickly. Hello, John.
Yeah, hello. How are you doing tonight,
all right.
Rick?
Okay.
Yeah, you guys are putting on a good show there, and it's kind of strange that she would bring up the law, because that's exactly what I was going to bring up. You know, there are a lot of people out there that are listening to you tonight, and they're saying that, gosh, these guys are probably crazy. They're all wet. They're full of it. This is just their opinion. Well, I'm going to show you and show those people out there that it's not our opinion when it happens to be a public law. And that public law is public law 102-14.
102-14, huh?
Public law 102-14, the 102nd Congress of the United States of America, March 5th,
stay where you are. We got a break, though, John. We'll pick that up right on the other side of the break, okay? Very good. We'll be back. Ted Pike, John in Alabama, and about 4 other calls right now. We'll get them all in. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned for more. The Radio Avenger back now with Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. John, you're still there.
Yep.
Okay, John, and you were citing the public law that we're talking about. Go
yep,
ahead, continue,
yep.
please.
And, yep, anybody can Google it. Public
mm-hmm.
law 102-14, March 5th, 1991, signed into law by George Bush. And this law pertains to his declaration of Education Day, acknowledging Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson.
Yes, yes.
Of the leader of the Lubavitch, that's the L-U-B-A-V-I-T-C-H movement, and it says here, whereas these ethical values and principles have been the bedrock of society from the dawn of civilization, when they were known as the seven Noahide laws.
That's right.
Now, he mentions those as being the laws that are the bedrock of our civilization. And then he says, in this will be the year which we turn to education and charity to return the world, that is, return the world, to the moral and ethical values contained in these seven Noahide laws. Now,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't look too bad until you go look at the seven Noahide laws.
Exactly.
And when you look at the seven Noahide laws, they are called a mitzvah. That's a law for us non-Jews here. And it says it's for the non-Jews to observe. Number one, do not murder. Number two, do not steal. So far, so good. Number three, do not worship false gods. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Jesus is one of their false gods. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number four, do not be sexually immoral. Five, do not eat a limb removed from a live animal. Six, do not curse God. Now, if we go around praying to Jesus, we're in effect cursing God to them. Then the last one, seven, is set up courts and bring offenders to justice. And when you research that further, bringing them to justice means putting them to death for breaking any of those laws. And their way of death is beheading.
Mm-hmm.
And what my question is, they signed this into law in 1991, George Bush did. What if we were to get a resolution passed like this, a law passed saying that we're going to proclaim a day of commemorating the ideals of the New Testament or of Jesus Christ. We would not hear the end of it. So anybody that's doubting all of this,
yep,
it's already been signed into law.
Mm-hmm.
It already has a premise based on this law that the Jewish Noahide laws are in effect in this country, and they will soon, I think, be recognized even further.
I think that's a significant point. We brought it up before many times. Ted?
Yes, very ominous. What is happening here is that, as I've said before, to bring a Jewish overlay, a Talmudic legal over our system here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And can you, excuse me, my cordless phone is kind of giving
up.
Yeah,
you're breaking
you
up a little bit.
I tell you what, I'll try to continue this thought, but I'll call you People Republic in just a second, okay?
Okay. All
and
right.
I'll get you on myself.
Sure. You can call us right back. Well, John, what you've brought out is absolutely true, and we brought that out with a number of individuals. Scott Smith has brought that out when he's been on with me, and we've talked about it repeatedly, and people, all they have to do is just look it up. It's right there.
Yeah, it's right there.
It's right on the law book, signed into law by George Bush Sr.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And they can't deny that it's there, and what it really means is, well, we see this new Sanhedrin movement in Israel itself gaining preeminence every day. We're going to see a religious takeover there, showing the incompetence of the secular government now, the old Olmerts and so forth. This is leading up to a total change of the guard. And when we see that change of the guard, it's going to affect the whole world.
Yep. That comes right out of the Sanhedrin 58b.
Absolutely.
Right out of the Talmud. And, you know, it's already been proclaimed law in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
This is just setting a precedent. I know you've probably talked about it before, but there's probably a lot of
listeners.
New listeners out there probably saying that, you know, you're full of it, and this is just your opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm telling you, this you know, this has got teeth. When it's a law in the United States for us to acknowledge one religion, that is the Jewish religion, over another religion,
yep,
which might be any other religion.
Mm-hmm.
When we acknowledge that religion, there's something wrong here. It just doesn't pass the
very true. Outfit. Thank you, John,
Thank
for
you.
Bringing it up. I
sure.
appreciate it. Bill from Pennsylvania. Hi, Bill. You're on the program.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen.
Yes, Ted is we're trying to reconnect with him. But go ahead, you can make a point
okay.
in the meantime.
He can jump in as he feels when he gets back in. Let's see, I just wanted to say that there's only one name given under heaven and earth to which mankind should be saved, and that's Yeshua the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the greatest Jew. As far as I heard your guest say that people like Fox and so forth are saying that the homosexual lifestyle is a valid lifestyle, to which I would say to anyone who would hold that point of view that they are not Jews, that they are the synagogue of Satan, and Moses himself would be ashamed of them for calling Moses a liar.
Mm-hmm. But that's the ironic thing, isn't it? Here these people claim to be Jews,
mm-hmm,
and they're not. They claim to be Israelites, and they're not, but are of the synagogue of Satan.
Right.
The thing they stand for is an opposition to what they say they believe from the Bible.
They call Moses a liar.
Mm. Mm.
You know, the one that led them out of Egypt, they call him a liar by saying that homosexuality is an acceptable lifestyle, because the Bible and the Torah quite clearly state that it's an abomination before God.
Yep.
The other thing I was wanting to state is this persecution of Christians has been going on. I just recently finished reading Acts, and I always found it interesting that Paul and others were always being persecuted by the so-called Jews that are actually being led by the demonic satanic spirits. But these so-called Jews, they never turn to God for their guidance and, you know, ask God, what about this guy in Paul? What about this God? Who is this Paul?
Get it back.
They always...
Okay.
they always went before the government trying to kill the innocent.
Yes. All right, look, Bill,
I think it's very illustrative of who they are.
Bill, we have Ted back. Did you want to address that question or comment to him specifically?
Well, sure. I think it's in his comments. Were you able to hear
what... No, he's just rejoined us. Go ahead. Make it quick.
Okay. Well, I was just addressing that Paul was, persecuted by the Jews. And it's always the Jews and the government coming together in collision against the Christian people. And always notice that the Jews never turned to God to seek the answer from God. They always turned to the government to try to persecute and kill the innocent people. And that's basically what I was wanting to comment about.
All right. Ted, do you have any response now?
Well, it's kind of interesting. There's a quote by Benjamin Franklin, which is not particularly politically correct, but mm-hmm. he made a very pointed statement to the Continental Congress back in the 1780s or whatever, and he says, "Brethren, do not let the Jews into the United States. Do not encourage them and let them in, because," he says, "they're a bunch of vampires," is what he says. "And they will take over this nation. They will bring us into oppression, as they have in other civilizations and countries of Europe throughout the last almost 1,700 years." Now, I'm not in favor of going to that extreme to not allow Jews in the United States, but there remains the fact that he was aware that because of this Pharisaic zeal and desire for world dominion, which will
yes.
allow the Messiah of the Jews to come into existence and rule over the Goyim and allow the Jews to be an overlordship over the Gentiles eventually, because of this overweening desire of Pharisaic Talmudism throughout the ages, the Jews have gone into nation after nation after nation. They've been allowed in. They have taken over the commerce and the finances. And then they have become morally corrupted as well as financially oppressive on the people. And what has happened is that again and again and again, the nations have had to expel these Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Babylon and Spain and Germany and France and England. It's an old, old story. Now, what I contend is that if the Jews had done nothing more than obey the command of God through Jeremiah to dwell at peace in the nations of their dispersion, to seek their prosperity and peace, then the Jews would have had peace. And you wouldn't have this long history of expulsions and bad blood against the Jews throughout the millennia. Instead, these rabbis wanted more. They wanted to take over these nations. They wanted to dominate these nations. And in order to do that, they had to corrupt these nations. They had to weaken these nations. This caused an inevitable backlash. And that is exactly what's going on in the United States of America right now, is that the evil Jewish leaders are in ascendancy. They're in control of finance and
yeah.
government and the media, and they're doing exactly what they've done throughout history.
Well, the
and
only difference is that they feel pretty confident that they have dumbed down the American
yes.
Society to such an extent, and they have it so controlled with the guilt of the so-called Holocaust thesis that
yes.
they can pretty much be confident in their almost virtual, totally omnipotent control over what happens politically. And that's why they also
yeah.
are backing gun control, hate laws, and so forth, just
sure.
in case the natives get restless, you see?
That's right.
That's my opinion. Thank you, Bill. We've got to move along.
Thank
a
you.
Little quicker pace. Henry in Connecticut, you're next with Ted Pike.
Yeah, hello?
Yes.
Yes. All right. I don't know if you had a caller there to mention earlier about Albert Pike.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but Albert Pike invented the Brene breath, as well as the Knights of the White Camellia, or it was also called the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. It's the same guy. He was a fat, heavyset Freemason. I think he ran Masonry around the world.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any comment, Ted, on that?
Well, I am not an expert on Albert Pike. I do know that he was involved in creation of the Ku Klux Klan. I think that's a fact of history.
Yeah.
And
the Brene breath.
Yeah, well, I am not really, really sure on that. I'd have to, maybe you could email me some information at truthtellers.org on that. But it certainly was a contemporaneous period in American history. Brene Brith was founded in New York City in around 1850, ostensibly to protect Jewish safety in the New World. But I didn't know Albert Pike was behind that.
Well, Albert Pike was around in the 1850s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the KKK was a joke. It did some damage, and it killed people. I know that it killed some black people. It killed a lot, you know. But they really used it like a tool.
Then look, Henry, is they create a problem, then they offer a solution. They control both sides.
Right. That's exactly. The other thing is this. Is it, I would really like to get in touch with your guest. Is there a way he could leave his phone number?
Yeah, we could do that if you'd like to call him, Brian.
All right, well, okay. Before I hang up, he can get the phone number after I hang up. But
okay.
Before I hang up is this. Somebody else mentioned Rosie O'Donnell being Jewish. I think that person's mistaken. I think O'Donnell is an Irish name, and I never heard of her being Jewish.
Rosie I haven't O'Donnell. Either, but the names don't mean anything because, you know, names have been changed and they've been altered over the years. There are a lot of Smith and Joneses in the phone book who are really Kirchners and Rosenbergs. You know what I'm trying to say to you?
Okay, all right.
You've got to understand that, too. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But why don't we do this because of time? Hang on the line, all right? My producer will give you that information.
Okay, I'll hang on the line.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Let's take Mike in Arizona next. Hello, Mike. Hi, Mike.
Yes, hello, Rick. Hello, Ted. Hey, I'll be real quick here. The ACLU, I used to have my head in the clouds until I used to live up in a little place called Gilbert, Arizona, and the mayor proclaimed the Bible Week and got descended on by the ACLU. And, of course, it had to have been a Holocaust survivor that brought the suit, and then it went before a federal judge, Judge Silver, who just happened to be Jewish.
Yes.
And here's another thing, too. I had heard about this a while ago, about the ADL being charged with defamation up in Colorado. And I had the toughest time running this down. And so here's how I finally found out about it. I went to a legal aid website. It's called findlaw.com.
Findlaw?
Yes, findlaw.com.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And then up at the top where it says professionals, click onto there where it says professionals. Then to the opposite side, it'll say codes and cases.
Yes.
Click on there. Scroll down to where it says 10th Circuit Court. Click onto there, and then it'll bring up a search engine and type in the last name Quigley, Q-U-I-G-L-E-Y, and it'll bring up the whole 10th Circuit appeal for this lawsuit where it shows that the 10th Circuit upheld the defamation suit against the ADL, and they had to pay about $9.75 million.
And I think that was just one of several cases that they were sued in. There was a New York couple that sued them, too, and successfully.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of other cases. I'm sure, Ted, you've been familiar with some of them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm very, quite familiar with the Quigley case. Actually, it was very interesting. Quigley was a film producer, and he got in an argument with a Jewish neighbor, and the ADL put their oar in and claimed that Quigley was an anti-Semite. And Quigley, and I think they even tried to get the hate law of Colorado to punish Quigley for his remarks. Anyway, Quigley pursued this case against the ADL, and I think the original judgment was $9.7 million. But actually, it came up to about $14 million, I think, after several years of interest charges were added to
all
that.
All right. Okay, yeah. There you go. Thank you for your call, Mike. We'll do it. We'll be right back with Joe in Rhode Island next. Stay tuned. Let's go right back to the phones quickly now. With Ted Pike, we have Joe. Joe in Rhode Island. Hello there, Joe.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Ted.
Hello, Joe.
Malachi 3:2. He is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. If I might, gentlemen, can I bring forth some fuller's soap?
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 12. My tongue is a consuming fire. That kind of fire and fuller's soap is a good washing. I'm going to give it to them right now. These people who call themselves Jews and are not, out of the Synagogue of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Just some references by Jesus in the New and the Old Testament. Yes, Jesus in the Old Testament, called the Holy Spirit. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. The Gospel of John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Yes, the serpent did beguile Eve. And Cain was the product thereof. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. Hamath and the Rechabites, the scribes employed by Judah, but of the race of the Kenites, members of the tribe of Cain, or Cajun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jehonadab, Jeremiah 35:6. This was the Abraham of the Kenites, the sons of Cain.
Uh-huh.
Jonadab, 2 Kings 10:15. Jonadab played the role of good buddy to Jehu, king of Israel, when the Baalites were being destroyed. Make sure you don't have a good buddy Kenite in your chariot today. Amos chapter 16:14. Yahweh brings affliction on Israel by allowing Hamath, the father of the Kenites, to enter into Israel until the time of the end.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 23:33-35.
Mm-hmm.
Christ identifies the Pharisees and scribes as Kenites. Ye serpents, ye generation, offspring of vipers, snakes. He brands their father as the murderer of Abel, thus the sons of Cain.
Mm-hmm.
False Jews, John chapter 8:44. Christ called those who claim to be Jews of their father the devil and his son Cain, who was the first murderer from the beginning. Khazars, no title of Khazar king, Khazar Kagan, quote unquote, or in Hebrew, Cajun, or Cain. False Zionism, 1 John 4:3, any Zionism without Christ is false Zionism.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Boy, that sums it up pretty good, Joe. Thank you. Ted, any comment?
Well, what I have to say, Joe, is that I believe that there's absolutely nothing wrong with being Jewish or Edomite or a descendant of Cain or anybody else. God has created all of us in his image with an immortal soul which comes to us perfectly innocent from our Creator at the moment of conception. The big problem is sin and rebellion and hardness of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And these Pharisees were nothing more than pedigree Jews like St. Paul, like Peter, the rest of them, but they made a tragic decision to reject their Savior, the Lord of grace, and hardened in that decision, even crucifying their Creator and Israel's spiritual husband. Now today, Israel has gone into deep and dark, bottomless apostasy as it foments against Christianity and tries to reestablish its false Messiah in the world in place of the true Messiah they rejected 2,000 years ago.
They're counterfeit Israelites. They're Satanists, I think, and that's what they want, Satan's kingdom and their God in Jerusalem. But I got news for them. They ain't going to have it, Ted. Well, Ted, thank you very much for another lively and very spirited program, that's for sure. We'll be in touch again, Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. Good night, everyone.